Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You forget how bewildered people are by our face dribbles. It's great.
I thought you said dribbles liked everybody.
But they do.
It always starts a conversation.
Two wonderful hamster gentlemen just going for a chat on a spring morning.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering. So hey, how are you?
I'm all right.
It feels like it's a long time since I've seen you. It's just been a big week.
It's not that long, though, is it? It's only about a week or so.
But I've done a hell of a tour.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of adventures since I saw you last.
Right.
And we're back on Hampstead Heath to kick off the new month. Happy May, dear listeners. Not quite May as we speak, but it's coming.
But it will be.
Yeah.
Oh, it will be.
So
it's a glorious sunny day. Yeah, it's just... I'm back running again.
Yeah.
It's great, actually, because I've... reconnected with the pillars of my life that in my maudlin 2.5-3 week long pity party I neglected gigs and running.
Yeah. You and forgot that you need them like food.
I forgot them that I'm an absolute loon ball without them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy ropes of the tent of your life. You flapped off in a storm.
You know, but and both are equally as important as each other. The gigs, the running helps the gigs.
Yep.
And they're both necessary. So I've got a weekend. I did a weekend of gigs.
It is like food and sleep, isn't it? I'll be all right without food. Blood sugar drops.
Yeah,
I'll be all right without a night's sleep.
Yeah, it's just
goes insane.
It's absolutely necessary, both of them. So I feel loads better. But my shoulder hurts.
Yes.
It just hurts now. So I don't know where that's going to end. I'm in the system at the NHS. They can't do anything with me physiotherapeutically wise. So I've seen an orthopaedics person.
By the way, if you're wondering what I'm apologising for, I just ran into Paul just after we said my shoulder hurts. It's not ideal.
But they've still got to rule out surgery.
Yeah.
Everyone says you won't need surgery, but they say we have to rule it out before we give you any physiotherapy.
Right.
So it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact is I can run, albeit I'm in pain, but it doesn't affect my running as such.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in pain in the world.
That's right.
So you I'm just one of them for a bit.
It was nice that you got a lot of love off the back of your video about your poor arm last week. I hope it was worth doing that power fist.
That twisted power fist.
I don't know if that was wise or necessary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the gigs were great. And I did hot water.
Liverpool in the new venue, right?
Yeah, which is lovely.
Excellent.
It's really, really nice. Yeah, it's a great club. It's a bit like the Wild West out there.
Oh, no, let's go straight on.
You don't think so? You don't want to do that?
Okay, we'll get there. I just want to get round this side and go up there.
All right, okay, cool.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. Yeah, it's a bit like the Wild West there. It's a new club. Really nice comedy space. There's a lot of stuff that's incomplete about the venue still.
Well, it will have been, no matter how big and fantastic it is, it will have been basically hand-built by one man.
Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's Bince's palace there.
He's not the best, delegator.
No. But it's But it's an absolutely wild venue. It's really, really good. And incredibly enjoyable gig. And then I did the other gig in Liverpool where people just don't pay you.
Right.
You don't get paid when you do that gig.
Right.
And so it's sort of absurd. And I sort of forgot. And everyone at Hot Water was saying, oh, you won't get paid. They don't pay you, you know. And then the guy who used to, I'm not naming names because it's a public forum, but the guy used to compare there,
yeah,
turned up at Hot Water and said, oh, no, I haven't been paid for a year. They owe me 12 grand. So it's like the Wild West in Liverpool.
Yeah, but I know why you took that on.
Well, I thought...
Because you're a drain.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought I'm there, so I might as well earn a bit more money. But, of course, I'm not, because I don't pay you.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of industry you're in. You've got a compere who's a lovely fella doing material about Sticky Vicky.
Right.
About to bring you on at a gig that you're not going to get paid for.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the gig was fine. It was lovely. I'm not going to get paid for that.
No, and if you don't know your comedy, this is actually endemic in the industry.
Yeah.
Every couple of years, a club comes along where the community is saying, by the way, they don't pay.
Yeah.
Let's go right and left.
Okay, cool.
Keep on the side of the... And, sometimes... I remember years ago, I dragooned someone who I think would go on to be my agent, like an agent character, and I didn't have one, something like that.
Yeah.
Who said, I'll try and get that money for you.
Yeah.
And I was owed several £1,000.
Yeah.
By a big chain of comedy clubs.
Yes.
I won't name them, but it rhymes with Wronglers.
Yeah.
And
look, there's a J bird.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And, they owed me, whatever, something like £3,000.
Yeah.
And we did the blackmail thing. You've got Rob on this weekend.
Yeah.
He's not going to come and do the gigs.
Unless
you pay him for the previous gigs. So they paid me 50% of what they owed me.
Yeah.
And you could just feel that was it.
Yes, yeah,
it's great. We'll accept that because there's just no way.
And some comics.
Any more of that money is ever going to be forthcoming.
And some comics' self-esteem is so low. They accept that and know it.
Yeah.
I was doing a gig with someone recently. And he was going up to do a set of gigs in the Midlands area with a promoter who's renowned for not paying.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he owes me loads of money, but, you know, it's like, it reminds me of my mates, you know, you just do it as a favour, you know, it's good to work. I'm like, you've got kids, mate.
Yeah.
This guy wasn't rich. He's not a rich person.
Yeah.
And he's going up to gig. He's costing himself money.
You know what that is? That's enabling.
Yeah, it's enabling, but it's also someone who just loves performing and wants to feel needed on whatever level.
Yeah, but not needed enough to be paid for that.
No, it's crazy. It's absolute lunacy.
Looks kind of evil. There's a... Oh, no, it's behind. There's a cormorant standing on those sticks coming out of the...
Nice.
Yeah, I guess I was going to get a picture, but you can't
see
it.
View of the ponds, priceless.
Isn't it? Yeah. Lovely. You don't have to pay for that.
Yeah, you don't have to. Freebie.
But it is absolutely beautiful on Heath today. We haven't been for a while.
Yeah, it is. It's gorgeous, yeah.
Everything's in leaf and it's all breezy and sparkly. It's wonderful.
And how's your... I'm interested to hear about how your week's training has gone, because it was your first full week sort of proper 100K training, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I felt it. It was strange how... Well, it's really highs and lows, you know.
Right.
And the times when you feel... It takes you by surprise when you feel weak and tired, and it takes you by surprise when you feel...
Strong.
Super strong. Do you need to...
No, I'm all right.
Great. Well, I saw our friend Swery Helen Thorne.
Right.
The other day.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you...
She's coming off a marathon, isn't she?
Double marathon.
Right, okay.
She did, and with travel.
Right.
So she's been in Australia, first and foremost, because her mum died. Condolences, terrible thing.
Condolences, yeah.
And then she was off in America, having like American adventures, and then she did the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Flew home.
Wow.
Did the London Marathon. And, I mean, absolutely brilliant, brilliant times. Amazing runner in terms of her commitment. And I think she's pushing 10 marathons now or something.
Right.
Anyway, the reason I mentioned it when you asked is she seems genuinely bewildered because she found Boston hard.
Yeah, well, Boston's
hilly.
Boston's known as
tired,
isn't it?
And everyone was saying that. And then she got to London 6 days later.
Yeah.
And went, oh, lovely. Just
easy.
Like skipped around.
Nice little,
you just can't really predict it, can you?
Yeah.
And some of it is just, it's just in the ether. I just feel like, I was going on about it last week and I was still caught up in it all last week. the London Marathon, it was just a magic day for it.
Yeah.
The number of people I've spoken to who've done it before who said, oh yeah, it was the best one, it was better.
Right.
You know, it just kind of came together.
I'm sure
the planets aligned.
I'm sure that just like some gigs or theatre performances or dinner parties or whatever can seem like this is better than normal. Do you know what I mean?
These things,
we associate these things with being good, but there's something pretty special about it.
Transcended.
That can happen with mass events as well.
Yeah, exactly that.
Interesting.
So I was still glowing from all that last weekend, and I went out, and the first couple of days I ran with you, and then early on in the week, I think Tuesday, my run was, it wasn't the rest day, but it was like the shortest run of the week. It was 5K.
Yeah.
And I was doing that run up to Clissold Park or something, and I was thinking, oh, I am tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew I was daunted. I was scared all week because I knew that Thursday, Friday, Saturday
were big days.
It went 5:15, 30K.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I went out for my run on Wednesday, and as you know, there's always like a training element on the Wednesday.
Right.
Or often is, anyway.
Yeah.
And this one was second half tempo.
Right.
So, in a funny kind of way, that's when I ran out my tiredness.
Okay.
I ran up to the top of the park and walked past yours.
Yeah.
Nice and steady, slightly uphill. And I turned back and just cruised down. Great music.
Yeah.
Just felt strong, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, went off to do a gig in Pilton, where Glastonbury Festival is. And I was staying in Castle Carey.
Right.
Which is gorgeous. It's like a little model village. It's a beautiful little place on top of a hill. And the train stops in a field at the bottom of the hill. So I was walking up to my hotel. It's about a mile.
Yeah.
I was carrying so much stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, God, this is terrible. But it was so stunning. It was like this bird singing, flowers. You know, I just couldn't complain, really. And then went and did the gig, lovely gig. Had the hotel breakfast the next morning. And the bus I was going to get didn't exist. So I ended up walking back down the hill.
That can happen, can't
it? Yeah, yeah.
So with the bus service,
additional training, 2 mile walk with multiple heavy bags. So that was interesting. And then that must have been the rest day. It doesn't matter. My next gig was in Birmingham. And I was really looking forward to getting back to... Do you remember once upon a time we did the...
The canal run.
The canal run. It's an episode, I think.
Yeah, it was,
Back in 2017, where you run out from, like, the mailbox near New Street and out to... past the university to the chocolate factory along the canal.
Right.
And you've got the beautiful canal on one side and railway on the other side.
Yeah.
It's a stunner. And every time I go for a run in Birmingham... It's sunny and cold.
Yeah.
Just great conditions every time this last 6 months or so. Anyway, supposed to be easy. And I took it easy, but it was all... I was a little bit pacey. You know?
Right.
Because it was flat.
Just
was
a natural vibe to it,
Just couldn't help it. So having been, I don't know, I'm going to do it on Tuesday. On Friday, I found myself thinking I'm going as gently and as slowly as I can. 8:50, 8:50, just coming in under 9 minute miles every time.
Yeah.
Which is not, you know.
No, it's fine. It's not hanging
around. It's not how fast we're running now.
No.
Crazy, but there it is, and it felt great. And also keeping up with the other stuff. I actually did my last workout exercise of the week a day early because I had time in a hotel and I knew I was going to be tired and pushed for time the next day. So I'm back doing the 5 minute planks and the workout sessions. And let's not forget the occasional unexpected mile walk with heavy bags. And so Birmingham felt wonderful and like a very low key version of Helen's London, you know?
Yeah.
Really free and easy run just when I expected to be pooped. And it shows how much a rest day can give you, I suppose. Anyway, Saturday. I was supposed to run, 30K, what's that,
18
and a half miles. And I woke up in Ross-on-Wye.
You're right.
Lovely gig on Friday night. And I looked out the window, I woke up really early because I had to squeeze it all in before I left the hotel and stuff. So I set the alarm for like 5.
Wow.
And I looked out the window, it's getting light.
Right.
It wasn't raining.
Right, okay.
I thought this would be good. But yeah, then it started raining.
Right.
So I went out, 6:15.
Wow.
And I'd made this plan. I looked at a map in a bookshop. I didn't buy it because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd run along the River Wye rather than along the bridle path that goes through the woods, because it would be less hilly and easier to not get lost. And it was pouring with rain. I got into this field. I scared a deer. It was really good. You know how deer are incredibly shy in the distance?
Yeah.
This deer definitely had a 6 o'clock in the morning vibe.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't hide.
Yeah.
It's kind of bounding away from me.
Doesn't
expect what the hell are you doing?
Doesn't expect to see people at that time in the morning.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
You just seemed really cross.
Yeah.
And very, very wet, deep grass with treacherous surface underneath. This is slow and difficult.
Yeah.
And that was just the beginning.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So go on then. It's raining.
Yeah, so
it's Ross on Wye.
The plan is I've got to run out.
And you've got to run 18 miles.
Yeah, and I've gone along the side of the river that's supposed to be easier.
Right.
The idea is to run 7.5 miles.
Yeah.
Turn back, and then on the way back, either retrace my steps.
Yeah.
Or... Cool, it's windy here, isn't it?
In front of Kenwood,
but incredibly beautiful. We chase our steps along the river or go along the Wye Valley Trail, which goes over the hills and through the woods.
Yeah.
But on a brighter path, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, in that first hour,
like
the first 3 miles, it was tough underfoot at first.
Yeah.
Thick grass.
And
muddy.
Quite tough mentally.
Yeah, I mean,
you're just setting
very,
off for a big one, sort of.
I resigned to it.
Right.
I wasn't miserable. Gosh, look at the colour of these.
Yeah, amazing.
Wow, that's the pinkest rhododendrons, I think. But they look like colourised 1970s postcards. Do you remember when they used to take a black and white photo and colour it in? Great days. It just got... Like you say, it was tough in terms of what I had ahead of me. But I was very resolved to do it.
Right.
And wasn't really being bothered by the rain. I'd also made this quite clever decision really late on to listen to podcasts while I was running. Some people do that, you know. I've got to get a little picture of this garden. It's amazing. Rhododendrons and magnolias in leaf. And a bit of art in the middle there. Look at that. Apologies. Anyway, so it wasn't a very well-used path.
Right.
And it was bumpy, bumpy field edges. Started to get a bit nettly.
Right.
A couple of hard-to-negotiate styles. And then it went into the woods.
Right.
And started going up and down. Often hands and feet down, climbing over fallen trees.
Yeah.
Sometimes feeling like with the wrong step I could slide into the River Wye.
Yes.
And get washed away.
Yeah.
Awkward. And then I was going across a bit. It was really tough just underfoot, just in terms of like long grass and everything.
Yeah.
And it came out of that bit. I thought, oh, good. Thank goodness that bit's over.
Right.
And this next bit of woodland, honestly, brambles and nettles. And then there was a bit where a bush had kind of grown over the path. And I had to literally crawl under it on my hands and knees.
Right.
In the mud.
Do you know what that reminds me of?
Go on.
Turf mud.
Turf!
Turf mud! I'm on my hands and knees like a turf mud.
An electrocuted.
Turf mud! I got a broken shoulder and a turf mud.
And then I got to a bit which was just broken glass for half a mile.
Tougher than mud.
Turf!
Triple turf!
Oh, he's got
triple
sticks.
Tough mothers crawling in broken glass, good in the rain, rushing wire,
long,
swimming
grass
in the river like a tough mother.
So, yeah, it was very tough. And I pressed on.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, wow. One, this is difficult.
Yeah.
Two,
I quite like
taking,
to,
this
I quite
is
like
taking
to go
ages.
Home. Yeah.
Three, just remember, Rob, you can go home if you want.
Yeah.
But four, can't really turn back.
Right.
Because I couldn't, you know what I mean? Once I'd crawled under the bush and gone over that stile, which was not very dramatic, but it was shonky and do I go over or under barbed wire, nettles. It just took about 10 minutes to get past the stile.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I can't retrace these steps. So eventually, and then I went into one field, a very big muddy field that had been recently ploughed, so you had to stay on the field edge. And, and there was a ruined castle lowering from up above.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness. Anyway, I crossed the road, crossed the river rather, at the next road bridge, and had a little look around. I thought, I need to start heading back just for time.
Yeah.
Ran back along the road for a bit and picked up a path on the right. So happy to not be on this kind of not very well attended other path.
Right.
But then I ran down across a field. It was a beautiful, you know, when they have a path that goes between the crops in a field, like the one in the race to the stones.
Yeah.
Really stunning. It looked like it was going to be.
Right.
I went down across it.
It looked really stunning.
It was actually very, very slippery mud.
Right.
Like a kind of mud ice rink.
Like it.
Downhill.
Yeah.
And when I got to the end of it, it led to a collapsed bridge.
Nice.
But that didn't stop you.
Had to turn back.
You're a tough mudder.
And run back up the hill. I mean, of course, as long as I was moving.
Yeah, it's all mileage.
It's all mileage, so it doesn't really matter. And I was surprisingly jolly. I was just, it is what it is. And then I've got back to...
Still listening to the podcast at this point?
Podcast. It was four episodes
of
a Rest Is History podcast.
Right, okay.
So brief pauses between the two.
Yeah.
Between each one, rather. And I got to a road by some houses. And I thought, well, I think there's a bridle way up over the hill there. And I was like, mate, you don't know where you are.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
I was planning. The idea was to run 15 miles by the time I got to Ross-on-Wye Parkrun.
Yeah.
And see, you know, people we know from online there.
Yeah.
Run the parkrun. Still pouring with rain, let's not forget that. So when I got to the road, I thought, stay on the road, run back to town.
Yeah.
It was about 22:09 at this point.
Right.
So, you know, I put away 2.5 hours with this shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
And I headed back to town. It was good running. I had a couple of salt sticks. Taken my... Oh, look at these bluebells on your left. Classic.
Nice.
Classic bluebell action.
Classic.
Just doesn't come out in pictures. So I made the decision to run up the road back to town. And thought, I can get there by 9. I can do this. I was beginning to feel it a little bit in my legs by this point.
Right.
And I went to the park, where the parkrun was.
Right.
Got there, ultimately.
So you're running to a parkrun here?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And I got there at exactly...
Maniac.
9 a.m.
Right, okay.
Wrong park. Not, like you say, at that point, I wasn't too... I didn't mind over much.
Yeah.
I've got my barcode. Seems a bit quiet this morning. Where is everybody?
Exactly that. No one there. Yeah. I still don't know where it was, because I looked it up on the map. I do like sitting in hotel rooms looking at maps.
Yeah, why not?
So me going to the wrong place was quite a big faux pas.
Yes.
And I was kind of relying on... I wasn't going to sprint the parkrun.
Yeah.
And I was going to socialise.
It was going
to
be a study.
I was sort of relying on it to distract me from...
From the last 5K.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, 9 o'clock, wrong park. still got time to complete my run, yeah. And I'd run at this point 12 miles.
Right.
So I've got to go. I'm going faster now because of less shenanigans and interruptions.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not running fast, so we're talking another hour or so.
Right.
Well, an hour and 10 minutes. Morning Magpie, to get up this. Anyway, I ran off the other way down the river. And now, still going fine, but tired and motivation much reduced.
Yes. Motivation lacking.
Yeah. So I ran along and... eventually, I just thought, yeah, that'll do. And I turned back. So I did not complete my mileage. But there has been very little in the way of self-chastising.
Yeah, that is fair.
I did run for 3 3/4 hours.
Yeah, that's long enough.
Yeah, and it was 15 miles.
Yeah.
And do you know what podcast I was listening to?
Go on, then.
The Life of Byron.
All right, okay.
So all the while I'm picking through the nettles, he's shagging his way through Cambridge, you know, while I was...
Sorry. People spend their time in different ways, don't they? I'm sure you're having just as much fun crawling under a bush and...
Yeah, as he was...
In the rain.
Sleeping with his sister. Great times, you know, really. it got a bit weird in the end, I'll be honest. But very good. And I was... It's interesting because the only time last week I thought, oh my goodness, this training is hard, I was running the 5K on Tuesday.
I must say that 5K sounds a bit odd to me when you're training for a 100K, the idea of 5K finishing with a bit of tempo. I mean, unless it's just intended purely as a loosener, I don't quite know what purpose that serves in the overall thing.
No, you're mixing up two runs there. The 5K was just 5K.
Right.
The second half faster was longer than that. 7.5 was like a 12K.
Right, okay.
So the 5K, and either way, it's the most challenging because it's sort of on a day when you just wouldn't do it.
Maybe that's...
So it's quite good. It's like running...
Maybe that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's a running every day.
Running when you're tired.
Running on tired legs, exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I've got a... This week ends with a 20 plus.
Right.
Or rather... I'm shifting again between miles and kilometres. But yeah, 20 and a half miles.
Right.
And I'm basically running on the same model with a commitment to finish it this time.
Right.
So I'm going to go to the Malverns.
Right.
Get out there at 6:15 in the morning and try and run for 3 3/4 hours again. But this time, sans fences and nettles.
So are you starting so early because the race starts so early?
I'm starting so early because of having to get out of hotels.
Right.
But also, yes, training up for
ultra
start times. And also just strengthening that ability to get up and out of the house.
And also, it has to be said, when you're training for ultras, you start to resent the amount of time it's eating up into your day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the earlier you start, if you can finish by 11 or whatever.
Yeah.
As opposed to, 9 till 2 or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're right. I think there's a truth in that. I think both. I think there's two things to bear in mind. Not that useful for all the people with real jobs.
Yeah, but...
But for you and I think one, you're right, it's just really killing your day.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to carry on having a life and everything.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I would say, is that kind of... You want the end of the run to be at the usual point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to come home from your run at the same time, feeling the same amount fresh.
Yeah.
Except that this time, you did 15 miles more.
Yes.
So to do that, you have to...
You've got to set a foot.
You've got to bolt it on the beginning.
Yeah.
So that's what I've drifted into doing.
Right.
And I think also there is an element of recognising that when you're travelling and doing shows and carrying stuff around... That takes effort too, and that's no problem at all. But these are marginal gains. If you get closer to the event, you don't have to do that stuff.
But also, you've got to have a kip in the afternoon, I mean, as well.
Oh, yeah.
If you're doing a gig at night and you're running 15, 20 miles in the morning, you definitely need a kip.
Yeah, one of those gigs last week, I didn't have a kip.
Right.
And I got to the gig and I thought, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
So the next time I got to a hotel,
yeah,
I had a bit of time. Just the first thing I did, I properly shut the curtains and went straight to bed.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because I thought, like you say, if I don't do this now, then later on I'll be like, oh. And when I came back to London, I got a train, bus and a train back from Ross to Gloucester to London.
Right.
On a rainy Saturday. and on the train to London, I went to sleep. Now, I often have a nap on the train.
Yeah.
But this is like being on a plane.
This was deep sleep.
I went so fast asleep.
Yeah.
And when we got, and I kept waking up, you know, people getting on and off and stuff, but I just go back. When I got to Paddington, I just thought, I can't wake up enough to get off the train.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like jet lag.
Yeah, you're tired. Yeah. You're tired. That's tiredness, yeah.
Yeah. Which is good.
But how do you feel today? So you had a day, you've had a day off and today's Monday, so you feel a bit better?
Feel good.
Good.
In fact, yeah, because I did a little run on the way to you. And yeah, it felt good. My feet kind of said, hello, old friends, when I put them in my shoes. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, and I do, I can just feel the strength building, really.
Yeah. It's a nice feeling.
It separates out slightly, doesn't it? You've got your strong body, which is prepared to do the job. And then your kind of self, which once you've done the job goes, oh dear, I'm quite tired now for some reason.
Yeah.
Kind of separates out, you know what I mean?
It's a lovely feeling starting to get really strong.
Yeah, and I think that in terms of Race to the King training, it's a very good balance of... can really feel it coming and really feel it ramping up.
Right.
But it's a long way away.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and both those things are true. It's not a mistake to feel it ramping up. It's because it's a big ladder to climb, you know?
It absolutely is, yeah.
There's no downtime between now and then. Obviously, there are rest days.
Yeah.
But they are part of a heavy process.
And the odd, is it like 3 weeks on, 1 week a little bit easier sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, as I said, I'm in...
You're
the first
week, week two of the
of tough. The third training block of four.
Right.
Four-week blocks. 16 weeks broken into four blocks.
Yeah.
And every fourth week is an easy week.
Yeah.
So, two more heavy weeks, then an easy week, and then the heaviest week of all, and then the taper.
Yeah.
So, 6 weeks away, but you can measure it. It feels like, you know, you can chunk it down, so it's like it's the day after tomorrow.
Feels fairly close. And you've been... still resisting.
2 weeks.
I don't even have to say what I'm talking about.
2 weeks alcohol free.
Right.
Which is big.
Yeah. It's
I wonder when the last time I was alcohol free was. And said it before. I'd say again. Sundays are the hardest. I was pretty busy yesterday. Didn't really.
Yeah.
Notice it. But see, our wedding anniversary next weekend.
Right.
It's actually in the training schedule.
Right.
Not the threshold didn't say that, actually. It was more the Deerings that one or two drinking days are allowed next weekend.
Yeah.
But I'll be incredibly strict, and of course that's the difficult thing.
Well,
getting back off again.
No, but again, it's like the running long distances. You need to start drinking earlier in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can stop at the same time.
So good.
That's the way to get through that.
Your advice is valuable.
Half eight cocktails.
Thank you.
Dirty martini, whatever it is you do, get out there.
Whatever the hell it is you do.
Happy anniversary. Yeah.
Yesterday, my wife had a soft drink
right.
in a nice, like a cocktail glass.
Yeah.
In fact, it was a tonic, Fever Tree tonic with cranberry juice and lime.
Right.
Drink fans, which she really likes, very nice. And this morning, I put it away in the cocktail cabinet. And that really helped me not drink.
Yeah.
I kind of had that shuddery, horrible feeling when you've had a ill-advised vodka martini.
Yeah.
Without the
vodka martini. It's
I also had a terrible headache all day yesterday. I could never work out whether it was from the long run or from I don't know, something to do with the weather or something else. I think it was the long run and dehydration.
Long run and not drinking on the Sunday.
It felt like a caffeine-y headache.
Right.
You know, like, you know when you've missed your coffee or... I certainly took some painkillers and they just didn't make any difference at all. But it wasn't a very bad headache. It's a rest day thing.
I had a...
before you said... No. Just those runs last week, they were... running's amazing. They were so different.
Yeah.
Like, both that run in Birmingham and that run in Ross-on-Wye, they were runs that I'll remember forever.
Yes.
And they were so different to each other, I think.
Well the Ross-on-Wye had a real adventure quality to it, didn't it?
Yeah, and then Birmingham was almost exactly the opposite. It was beautiful and really inspiring, but it was so simple and solid and familiar. And blue skies versus rain, you know, just... It was all the most amazing thing about them was that they're on consecutive days.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you were saying.
Well, no, I mean, I had a had a nice run in Leeds on the weekend in a park in Leeds. It was just a park full of...
I didn't know which way to go.
Well, we can go this way.
I had a Robert Frost moment there, Paul.
It was...
If you go that way, it's going to make all the difference.
It was daisies and dandelions, just a meadow full of it. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I had a day... I didn't drink yesterday. I had a gig in Runcorn.
Yep.
And it's nice to... I didn't used to amp gig for ages on a Sunday, but I'm starting to now, and it's really nice the way it just keeps you off it all.
Yeah.
And just finishes the week on a nice one.
So did you come home from back up to Runcorn?
No. I stayed over in Yorkshire, and then I drove to Runcorn, drove back from Runcorn last night.
Yeah.
4-hour drive. It's a drive.
Yeah, and you'll be tired now, but it's a different kind of tired, isn't it? I woke up this morning... You know, early.
Yeah.
We're up earlier at the moment because, of course, Julia can't ride a bike.
Right.
So she has to leave for work about 20 minutes, half an hour earlier.
Okay, yeah.
And anyway, I just woke up and literally my first thought was, at least I didn't drink.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's great. It's a lovely feeling, yeah.
But having said that, and I hope that I talk to her about it before she hears this, but I've got this plan, or rather this kind of... necessity I think I need to invoke, which is that in the last week or two before the race to the King, I'm going to stop getting up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I can never get to bed that early.
Give yourself a bit of a rest.
I habitually go to sleep. I mean, these days I'm very good and I'll be trying to go to sleep between 11 and 12, generally sleep at midnight.
Right.
But I'm always happy to be up till 2 in the morning.
Yes.
And yet...
We're just hardwired for that, aren't we?
Exactly.
Really?
And it doesn't change. No matter how many consecutive days you get up early, it doesn't change. So, you know, I was up till 1 the night before I got up at 5.
Right.
And I just think in terms of marginal gains, if I sleep till... You know, when I had my lay-in on Sunday, it was till 9. Oh, it's like Christmas.
Yes.
Those days of being the kids and sleeping till 11:30 or even 2 p.m.
Yeah.
You just don't need it anymore, do you?
No. That's never come back. And you won't want it back. You'd feel stupid.
No, it's
but half
you'd be
eight.
Back where you said, just lost.
Yeah, but
you
know, half eight, 9 feels amazing.
Oh, that comes stupendous. Back. So, yeah,
it's like a holiday.
If I can do that in those last days before the Race of the King,
right.
I'll just skip round.
Yeah.
That's just what they're doing here.
Don't know, mate.
Oh, it's not temporary, it's a building, isn't it? They're actually building a building.
Yeah. What's happening?
Affordable art fair.
Affordable art fair, okay, cool.
Oh, so it is temporary.
Nice,
cheers. God, it's a building and a half though, isn't it?
It's the Affordable Art Fair.
Yes.
I assume it's a temporary construction, but it's big. Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, well, actually, when you look at it, there's tarpaulin on the top, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the next Millennium Dome. They're starting
it reminds
early.
Me of Julian Matt's gazebo that they put up every summer.
Yeah.
In structure. I mean, not in scale.
No.
Something to aim at.
Julian Matt have got a lot of affordable art around the place as well, haven't they?
Well, and how was the gig in Ross on Wye?
Oh, it's glorious. It's at the Corn Exchange.
Right, nice.
A couple of Welsh acts I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you're very handy for Wales there.
Yeah.
So we're tapping into the South Wales scene. Who was on?
No. Traditional
so
gentlemen, ladies first. That's how we're living.
Oh, you had to gender it, didn't you?
Well, of course it was. You got a woman with a baby.
I'm having a baby. No, that's wrong. My wife's having a baby. I've got a heart condition. If you hit me, it's murder.
So you had a good, nice gig.
Yeah, that was absolutely lovely, Ross and Wye. Good scene. And I saw, I had a friend there.
Yeah.
Who was there with his family.
Yeah.
One of my A-level English teachers.
Right.
And as I thought to myself,
nice.
After the gig.
Yeah.
Mr. Abbott!
Right.
Didn't remember that until then.
Right.
And of course, the funny thing
is... It is funny when old teachers come to see you, though, isn't
it?
There's something quite odd about it.
He was a brand new teacher then, so...
Yeah.
He, of course, at that point, he seemed like Mr. Authority, but he's about 5 years older than me. You know?
Right.
Anyway, lovely guy. And he settled in Ross-on-Wye, you know, not long after I knew him.
Yeah.
Just literally because there was a job.
Should go
there.
This way, because that takes you in the street.
Cool, yeah. You know, just liked it and stayed there. And now you get to see him 30 years later. He's got a life and a family and kids. And, you know, his son is into music and running. And the circle is complete.
Yeah.
In fact, been sorting out all this old stuff, you know, the
storage stuff, yeah.
It's so difficult, but what's crazy is you pull up one box and it's my mum and dad's old stuff about me, and you pull up another box and it's our stuff about the kids.
Right.
And throw into the mix the fact that me and my son are basically two different takes on the same person. It starts to get a bit surreal.
A bit confused, yeah.
So who's writing this silly rubbish when? Just fantastic.
You'll notice how I'm picking through roots now, so I'm a lot more careful.
Oh, yeah.
To avoid the old...
Yeah, we've gone over some... Well, you've been cool about it.
Knock yourself over.
We've gone through some slippery places some tree-rooty places. Yeah.
Just a lot more awareness of foot placement.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've got Bonnie's... Bonnie's going through Costa Rica.
Right.
From Mexico.
We're on an island off the coast of Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Where we've made living biological... No, that's not me. Now I can't think of it.
And, she's staying in a hostel there. She stayed... This is when you get a little bit worried in when your kids go travelling.
Yeah.
She was in a hostel in Mexico. And I said, how's it? What's the hostel like? Oh, she said, it's a little bit quiet. I said, it's nice, it's a little bit quiet. I said, why is that? She said, because the barman disappeared a couple of weeks ago and the cartel came and they chopped his limbs off and shot him.
Oh.
Okay, so... Maybe don't work behind the bar. Maybe
you're coming.
Yeah.
When are you coming back? Change the subject.
When are you thinking of coming back? It's good
back?
To travel. It's good to meet new people.
When are you coming back?
But Costa Rica, and she's only a few miles away from George, who's in Costa Rica at the moment, and they're doing a show with Bear Grylls. So it's
quite
nice.
They're going to hook up, right?
They're going to see each other, yeah.
Yeah, good.
They're seeing each other today, in fact, which is amazing.
I love that stuff. I saw my dad in Nijmegen once when he was there on business and I was on tour in Holland. And I was about, 19.
Yeah,
just
nice.
Fantastic. It's like Race Across the World, isn't it? You've been watching Race Across the World.
I haven't seen it. Is it good?
It's good TV. Yeah, you want to go back to the beginning of that.
I think that's one Rachel really likes.
It's an excellent show.
Well, it's nice to see someone from your family in a different context like that, isn't it? It's really nice and a little bit different. You see a sort of different side of them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're siblings. Yeah. Seeing my dad, even though he's lovely and he's my dad and everything, it's still a sense of seeing them like a human, like a normal person.
Yeah.
Like your kind of peers, you know.
In the wild.
In the wild.
Yeah, and Rudy seems to be getting a lot of work as an extra in EastEnders at the moment.
Excellent. Do you think he's managed to gravitate to speaking roles?
I don't know. I don't know how he's managed to do it. He's quite a good networker on the sly, is Rudy.
Excellent.
Which is something I've never been able to do, but he's quite good at it.
Some people can do it.
He's quite, because I think it's quite a competitive area, but he turned up on the first day and he said he was doing little dancey bits and little showy off. He got noticed and now he's getting quite a bit of work. Another little income stream, which is good.
Did you see the EastEnders connection with London Marathon?
I didn't see that, no.
There's two characters from EastEnders.
Part of the plot.
Well, yeah, they ran it in real life, but I don't know how they shot it.
Right.
But they'll be cutting in verite. From the London Marathon in EastEnders, which I think is just fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
And they were so, again, emotional about it like everyone else. I'll tell you who else I saw. Actually, a roundup of some amazing London Marathon characters, because our friend Joel Dommett.
Oh, yeah, he was in a costume, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was dressed as a piranha.
Right.
Okay. And he said with wonderful smiley face diffidence, as is his way, he said, it just hit me on the top of the head. Just with every step, you know, all the way around. I think I'm complimentary shorter now than I was.
Not at all annoying. Yeah.
I mean, I love Joel anyway. He's a great guy. And
He's a good runner as well, isn't he?
He's a great runner. But
him and Ivo.
He's a kind of go out and do it person, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He's a bit like Rudy.
Yeah, he gets
it. In terms of what they're like. But I just loved him in that video because he's obviously also a big star and presenting and everything.
Yes, he is,
And he just had, but it reminded me of all of us, you know, the way when you're happy you've done the marathon and you're happy to talk, but you've still done a marathon.
Yes,
I did it and there was just a little kind of sigh in his voice, the little downbeats. I just thought, oh, I feel you.
Yeah.
It was really, yeah. Bless him. He'd done it.
No, but that's what I meant about the new generation. Like, he'd Joel and Ivo and Romish. Maisie Adams did like 3 hours 40.
Yeah, yeah.
Esther,
our friend, because of course we talked to her when she was training. She had a great one.
Yeah.
She did it in 4:45 and she said, just steady. Just
really enjoyed it. Yeah.
10.5 minute miles, didn't stop.
Yeah, good
which
for
is
her.
Great. I mean, you know, that thing of the coming out after Brighton and stuff, just even splits.
Yeah.
At whatever fitness you are, whatever, well, not whatever fitness you are, it shows you're fit, but whatever pace you're going at, that's good, right?
That is good, yeah. It is.
So
good.
I was really pleased, not good surprised, I'm really pleased for Esther. And, Helen, Sophie Raworth, of course, we talked about pulling out at 20 miles.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to her again, but she had an x-ray and posted the other day. She's not allowed to do anything like swim or run or anything ankle-y for 6 weeks.
Wow.
So I don't know, she's got a fracture.
Yeah, she'll have, that must be a fracture
That's
of something.
Not ideal, is it?
No.
I mean, they say that if you get a really nasty injury on a run, you should be careful not to... You shouldn't just go out and run, should you, Paul?
Yeah, just don't keep running on it.
Don't keep running around.
Hurts on every step.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
It's not massive pain, it's just discomfort. It definitely makes you think about the pivot of your arms, though, and your shoulder and how it operates. And
Maybe
your shoulders are quite important with a run, aren't they?
Yeah, running, absolutely.
You know,
Well,
the counterbalance, you know.
I always do the body stretches and exercises.
Yeah.
I always think the further I go, the more the upper body stretches are important.
Yeah.
Because you've been using them, you know, because they're muscles that don't get used that much day to day. So, bad luck with
that. So I need to think about... we've basically decided with the publishers that... I'm just going to do it next year.
Yeah.
That's basically... I think that makes more sense for the book.
Yeah.
I think it makes...
Well, it's the same story with the now a very exciting chapter in it.
Yeah, well, I think hopefully it should make the book just better.
Yeah, absolutely. Just harder for you.
Yeah, just harder for me, but at least it gives me a shape and just clears that up. They're very understanding about it.
Yeah, and also...
Things go wrong.
Not to be funny about it, but... you know, on our long training run, you were looking, particularly after we'd run a long way, you were speaking very lucidly about your search for the why.
Yes, yeah.
And I think...
This might give me it.
That sense of trying to get back and that double sense of getting back to where you were in spring 2023.
Yeah.
Combined with getting back to any sense of being stronger and fighting the physicality of... training and aging and everything, you know, there's something there.
And also, I think it'll potentially give me a better build up, because the fact is, it was a little bit rushed. I was getting really fit.
Yeah.
But it was still a little bit rushed. I'd had COVID over Christmas, only started in January.
Yeah, and I think psychologically...
I can do it better.
I don't think you ideated yourself as doing it until you got to this year.
No.
It was always the plan.
Yeah.
But we can't really decide when that thing goes from the brain into the soul.
And I hadn't,
can we?
And I hadn't quite... got my head around the gear even right till the end.
I
was buying the gear, but I hadn't really got my head around that thing of sorting out the gear so well so you don't have to think about it, so you can just run.
Yeah, it's what you do.
Which is what I have to do. Gear was still a bit of an obstacle in my mind about, oh, this is going to be awkward and weird. And you know, so there's still journeys to take, and I hope to be in better shape next year, you know.
Yeah.
Because I did really enjoy getting that strong, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good feeling, isn't it? And you'll be getting there in the next few weeks.
That's
it's
right.
An amazing feeling.
That's right, it's happening now.
And God willing, and I'm sure you'll get the event, and you'll get to pour it all out.
Yeah, completely.
Because that's the end, isn't it? That's
what
we're after.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, having done a bit of ultra, is that finding that open end. When people say, oh gosh, 100K, that's an incredibly long way. It's like, yeah, but... you've got to get to the point where you're just running, and like you would, you know, you want to run 100K, and ultimately, if someone says, right, you've got to do it again tomorrow, that's what you've got to be able to
do.
This is just
what we're doing, This is just our...
This is what we do!
We've trained up our state of being to... We are the running people.
Hey, I just wanted to mention one other person. I was talking of being all emotional about London last week. Did you see the article in the paper about the people who came in last?
No, I didn't. I think I saw them, but I didn't see the article.
Well, I didn't know, but you know, a few years ago there was a you know, a small scandal when someone blogged because they were a pacer for 7:15.
Right.
And they found that the London Marathon wasn't really there for them, and they were people...
Yeah, they got mopped up and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they have so fixed that without telling anyone in the interim.
Right.
Because now there's all kinds of arrangements. They have loads of tail walkers. Like, you know, there's about 100 tail walkers, I think.
Right.
And they have this thing where after... Well, first of all, you've got 8 hours to finish, and that's with a staggered start. So people are properly finishing until, you know, 7 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
And then after that, when the roads open again, they just move the finish line.
Right.
So anyone who's still out there, they still get to finish. There's a different finish line in St. James's Park.
Okay.
And of course now the serried ranks of crowds have gone home.
Yeah.
But the support just flips over. So whoever's out there, it's like an ultra, really.
Right.
Because whoever's out there, might be one person, might be half a dozen people, they've got a support. There's people at the finish line.
Yeah.
You're single figures, but they're cheering and clapping, going, come on. And then out on the course, there might be, this guy who came last, it's called Fred Tomlinson.
Yeah.
He's done 32 London Marathons on the bounce.
Wow.
75 years old from Doncaster.
Yeah.
This year, he's doing it with a knee injury.
Yes.
So it took him 13 hours.
Wow.
You know? So he finished in St. James's Park. There's people cheering him in.
That's mad.
He's got six people.
That's incredible.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Tail walking him in.
Yeah.
And again, we've said it before, but it always is worth repeating that just that sense of the why, talking of that.
Yeah.
He does it for this charity called the Rainbow Trust Charity, which is for families dealing with when their kids are ill or have terminal illnesses, right?
Yeah.
Because his daughter died. She died just before she was 15.
Right.
So, what a heartbreaking why.
Yeah.
And then to hear this, to hear Fred himself say, he said, you know, these kids... What they're doing is so hard. This is nothing. This 13-hour marathon is nothing.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to do it. Of course I'm not going to quit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is,
really,
I mean, it's just the spirit of the thing encapsulated in one, you know, story that properly, I was revising it. I read it again this morning so I could tell you about it. And I thought, well, now I'm crying on the train platform.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. And again, I at risk of repeating this, as I think a lot of times, you know, we apologise for going on about the London Marathon and, sometimes people get sort of reasonably grumpy. I say, what is it about London? Why do people go on about it? There's other marathons. And it's true, there are other marathons and other marathons. But it crystallized for me in that is that a London Marathon is the running for charity marathon.
Yes.
You know, of course people run for charity in other marathons. And that's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. But everyone knows it about London. It's the world record holding.
Is it really? Right.
Yeah, it broke its own record this year for the most money raised for charity in one day.
Yeah.
And that was their record.
Right.
And they broke it. And everyone knows that about it. And of course, that at first you think, oh yeah, costumes, fun, people cheering. But when you connect that with the why, like we were saying, with that sense that it's basically... a ginormous communal healthy processing of grief and trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
Then
yeah.
there's nothing like it. You know, you could go and do an amazing, you know, speedy, you know, you could go to Berlin and be among the fastest marathon runners in Europe and the world. And that's an incredible experience. And that's really something. But it's a different thing.
It is, yeah. It is a different thing, yeah.
And like I say, just there was something extra special about it this year. And do you know what I think it was?
Go on.
So we didn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. You're not here.
We'll do it properly. We'll do it again. Well, I mean, it's all about York, isn't it, this year for us, marathon-wise. And hopefully one of my sons is going to do it as well. Hopefully George is going to do it.
Yeah, that'd be beautiful.
Get him on board. That'd be a good laugh, yeah.
I think Bonnie should probably come home as well.
Yeah, get Bonnie home at some point if she can.
In fact, the event, quite a soon event.
Yeah.
I've got something for you to do. Come home. Please come home.
She was like checking into this hostel at like 2 in the morning and there's no one around and she's in Costa Rica and the phone, you know, the Wi-Fi's going and there's no connection. And it's like, I'm really glad you're travelling, you know. Just glad you're having these experiences.
Daisy's looking to go to a festival. And it's just after the end of school because her birthday's in the summer. So it's like round, you know, it's pretty much at the moment she turns 18.
Yeah.
And this festival is in, I can't remember where it is, but it might be in Croatia.
Yeah.
And so she's really good and people go and stuff. And also she'd be staying in a Airbnb rather than a tent and that's a bit better. And everyone says, oh, it's amazing, you've got to go, it's a birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then she heard a story about someone who went and she got a police picture up.
Right.
And it was for, you know, it was for substance abuse.
Right, yeah.
I don't think it was off the chain. I think she was, you know, compos mentis and everything. And Anyway, this girl, the police got her in and they said they wanted to be bribed. They said, yeah, we'll let you go and you can go back to the festival if you give us £10,000.
Wow.
So she had to phone her mum and dad and they transferred £10,000.
Where was this?
It was in Eastern Europe.
Right.
I'm not quite sure where.
Yeah.
This is the festival that Daisy's thinking of going to, and we just said, Daisy, we haven't got it.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Good luck with that.
Because no, you're going to be in that police car, and they're going to make the call, and it's, you know, bad luck.
That scene of Tropic Thunder when Tom Cruise says, take a step away from the phone and your own face. I do not negotiate with terrorists. That's awful, isn't it? That's awful.
Yeah.
That's proper corruption, isn't
your
it?
Your one was worse, though, because there was everyone came away from my story with their limbs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just... He's obviously made some bad decisions, that bloke. But but it's not necessarily the kind of place that you want your daughter to be staying at, necessarily.
Yeah.
Whilst commenting that it seems quieter than usual. You don't say.
You know where I can recommend? It's a lovely place for a mini break, kids. Castle Carey.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
lovely. Nice little hotel there.
Yeah.
Get a walk through the fields from the station.
Yeah.
Mind you, you're not far from Glastonbury. It's not like that's the...
What's hilarious is Bonnie was in like, she's in like, you know, she's going through Nicaragua, Mexico. She's in some hostel in Mexico. And they're all sharing rooms and stuff, like 10, 12 to a room in a bunk bed. Below her in the bunk bed, someone else from North London. They're just North London bubble never escapes each other, you know.
Yeah,
they go to university, it's North London. They go to Mexico, North London.
No, exactly. You know? And the older they get, it goes the other way, doesn't it? You think, oh, they're getting away from it. It's like, no. It's like the fact that you know, just that Daisy goes to a school that's like a couple of boroughs away.
Yeah.
And just the circles always lead back to people she already knows.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's a great thing about the kids in this generation. It's like, when we were kids, if you went to a different school, you went to a different school, and that's who you mix with. But it's all concentric circles of socialising, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very, very complicated Venn diagram.
It's generational. It's really, really nice. And that's one of the great things about social media, you know.
Yeah, and they'll be able to run the world. Who run the world?
Yes!
Who run the world?
Yes!
Who run the... You can run the world if you want.
All right, Pat, you go run the world.
In 3, 2, 1!
Just keep in touch. Don't join a cartel.
With Paul Tompkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss.